you so much, Abjuda. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out on a busy pre-Pesach morning. It's quite remarkable when we stop to consider what is at stake on Pesach night, Lel HaSeder. And that is in the famous words of the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, explains that we refer to Pesach as Zman Cheruseinu in the present tense, our time of emancipation, because in his words, this is cited in the Sefer HaSeder HaAruch, from the Kedushas Levi in Yoni Shavuos, he writes, "Bekol Shana v'Shana, each and every year, Pesach night, misoreres oleinu, there is a reawakening in ourselves. Ha'ara gadola, an incredible inspiration and illumination. Kamosha ha'isalav oseinu ba'es yitzias Mitzrayim." That same inspiration, that same sense of amazement, of an incredulous emuna ba'kadosh baruch hu, and just astounding astonishment watching the nisim v'neflos of Pesach, Leil Pesach, yitzias Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael was zotu to back at that time of the yitzias Mitzrayim itself. Each and every year, Leil HaSeder, we have that same Ha'ara Gadol, that same inspiration, that same opportunity for His Orus and our Ruchnius. And to not pause and consider what's at stake, to let it just fly on by, granted it takes so much hard work to get there, by the time Seder night comes around, we're just exhausted, we're shmatas, and we just want to get to bed. But to not stop to consider what's at stake, what you can take advantage of at the Seder night, that inspiration, that is Orus, that Ruchnius opportunity, it would be such a terrible, terrible tragedy if we didn't stop to consider how to take advantage, how to capitalize on it. And the question is, how do we utilize that opportunity? We discussed in our Haggadah this past week in the shul how the Tziv describes the Leil HaSeder as a model, an imitation of how the Seudas Korban Pesach was experienced b'zman d'beis hamikdash, as if we are sitting with Nei Hashem. We are coming so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Seudas Leil HaSeder, have that opportunity for closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the lesson I think I'm looking to capitalize upon is that halacha, which states that one is not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. Can't eat anything after Afikomen, Pesach night. What's the significance behind that halacha? I can't eat after Afikomen. Once Afikomen is consumed, I'm done for the night. No food allowed afterwards, none whatsoever. What's the musa there? Why is it so significant? Why is it so important? I saw the Belzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Lekat Sifsei Kodesh, says the Rabbi Yeshua of Belz, once explained as follows. He said, why is it we're not allowed to have any food after the matzah? Why is that so important? No food after Afikomen. What does the matzah represent? The matzah, he writes, represents the fact that Klal Yisrael were zochet to Geula, despite the fact that they had no real religious merit. Chazal tell us that the Malachim claim to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Halol Abdo Be'edazar, Halol Odeh Be'edazar, these Jews in Mitzrayim, they've sunken so far to a spiritual abyss, 49 levels of Tumah, Mem Tashari Tumah, what are they Zoka to Geula for? And yet the matzah is that bread that symbolizes Geula nonetheless. The Belz Rebbe said, a person goes through the year, and sometimes we think, oh, if I fall in, I'm so not worthy of any Ruchnius inspiration. I'm still not capable of any growth in my Avodas Hashem. And we don't need anything after the matzah. We want to take that message with us beyond the Pesach Seder night. Remember the taste of the matzah. Klal Yisrael was zochet to Geula despite the fact that they were so, so undeserving, spiritually speaking. We would try to retain that taste of matzah in our mouths as long as possible after Leil HaSeder, because this is the message, one of the messages we're supposed to be taking with us. That we're always worthy of inspiration, of Isorus, of Geula, Ruchanit, of spiritual uplifting. Just like Klal Yisrael were b'zman Yitzias Mitzrayim, even if we feel we're undeserving. One reason why we keep that taste of matzah in our mouths. But perhaps second lesson along those lines is the following. Eating of the matzah and the retaining of the taste of the matzah in our mouths. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah writes, why is it that one is not allowed to eat anything after matzah, after afikomen? Rambam says, we want the tam matzah to remain befiv, to remain in one's mouth. Sha'achilason hi ha-mitzvah. Eating matzah is a mitzvah. We want to retain that mitzvah for as long as possible. To retain that inspiration, that ruchnius, fulfillment, that growth in Avodas Hashem for as long as we possibly can. And the question then becomes, if Leil HaSeder is that time when we're zocha to such incredible opportunity for growth and religious inspiration, we keep that taste of matzah in our mouths to remind ourselves, keep that inspiration for as long as possible, hold on to it. What must one do to maintain religious inspiration? How do we keep that going? How do we maintain that? Chatzko Levenstein, the Mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva and previously of the Mir, used to retell how he remembers the famous story of the Dibbuk in Radin. When there was a Dibbuk, this spirit, this neshama, that took control of a living person in Radin. And he said it was an astounding, astounding phenomenon. When do you see a Dibbuk take control of a person? He said he remembers the Chavetz Chaim Center of Elchanan Wasserman to order this Dibbuk to leave the body of this person that it had taken control of. He said people saw this. They saw this voice talking from this body. They saw Elchanan Wasserman ordering the Shendel Chavetz Chaim, this Neshama, to leave that body, to leave this person alone. It was so otherworldly. Who would ever see such a thing? People were so astounded. They saw what was so clearly so out of the ordinary. He said, after that night, he said, people were talking nonstop and writing about this story. Everyone saw it. They saw it firsthand. They heard a voice talking from another person's body. The Chavetz Chaim was respected in Shemayim like a Tana, like an Amora. The Shobachan Wasman talking to a voice. It was so otherworldly. He said, then that people couldn't sleep. They were so astounded, so moved, so inspired. And yet he said, a few days later, people went back to being the same people they always were. They saw this most incredible Amala Menateva inspiration, this Orus. They saw in the front of their very own eyes something which is so not natural. It was so clearly indicative of a world to come, of a Din V'cheshbon. They were inspired for a day, for two, maybe three. But they went back to living life as normal. The difficulty in keeping inspiration. And the Chazanish once explained, he said, because that's the battle of Bechir Chavshas. If a person would be inspired once, and that inspiration would stay forever, if that Dibbuk story would inspire me for the rest of my life to be a changed person, and it was so easily done, there's no Bechir Chavshas anymore. You see one moment of inspiration, and boom, you're ecstatic for the rest of your life. The challenge is lost. Then his sign of a Jew throughout his life is to take a moment of inspiration and to struggle, to fight, not to lose that inspiration. Chazal tell us famously that Rasa Shivcha Alayam, Mashal Rasa Yechazka Ben Buzi, that at that moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, the lowliest Shivcha, the lowliest maidservant, saw his Galas Hashchina, saw Kadosh Baruch Hu so front and center, so clearly. They saw a revelation greater than that which Yechezkel Navi, the greatest Navi, saw in his prophecies of the Maisar Makava. And if one considers, says Avigdor Rabinovich, if a Shivcha saw that exposure to Shechina, can you imagine what a regular Jew saw, one who's Jewish from birth? Can you imagine what the Rosh Yeshivas, what the Tzaddikim, what the holiest Jews were exposed to at that moment? If a Shivcha rose to the level of Yechezkel and Mabuzi, can you imagine what the other Jews who were living already life at a higher Madrega were exposed to? It was such incredible Esgalas HaShechina. And yet, that Shivcha remained a Shivcha. Didn't maintain that inspiration. They sinned with the Egel HaZav a short while later. You can see a Shechina, and just a little while later, Egel HaZav. And yet, says Rav Gamliel, the message was, I'm going to show you that it's possible to reach those madrigos. I'm going to show you what's possible to attain in a moment of this orus, how far you can climb. Never to be discouraged by thinking, oh, why bother? It's not for me. I'm just a simple Jew. Never to think I can't attain those madrigos of Avodas Hashem. Look what you can be zocha to. Don't lose sight of it. Hold on to it. Fight for it. Struggle to attain it. So what then are the practical etzos? If it is true that even a shiplet can be zocha to such hisgalus hashchina, if it's true that on Pesach night we have that opportunity for his orus like they had at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can, to some extent, also have that inspiration that they had Shivcha Alayam b'shas Yetzias Mitzrayim. How then are we supposed to maintain, strive for that inspiration, to keep that inspiration from Pesach night? And of course, one of the simplest etzos, one of the simplest tips, is to do the following. Famous thought that is cited based on the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Im Ta'iru v'im Ta'oru as Ha'ava Ad Shetachpots. You have this Orus, Im Ta'iru. Make it into a chefetz, make it into something physical, something concrete. You know, so often a person struggles to make changes in his avodas Hashem. But when there's a moment of his orus, all of a sudden, you have a moment you can jump over that fence, and then you're there. I'll give a mashal, a simple example. For years, growing up, one of the greatest treats we had growing up in Toronto was leaving Toronto. If that makes any sense, we'll see you in a second. Leaving Toronto to go across the border and find a kosher Carvel. I was like, wow, unheard of. In Toronto, growing up all those years, there was no such thing. Soft ice cream, kosher soft ice cream. So the greatest vacation of the year was, you go across the border to the south of the border. Didn't have to go too far. There was a great kosher Carvel in Syracuse, only 4-hour drive away. It was all worth it. Went to vacation every year. Where do we go? To Syracuse. Syracuse, what for? Carvel, what do you mean? That was our vacation every year. Go to Syracuse, 4-hour drive, stay a couple nights, go to Carvel every day, go back, that was it. We were made. The kids were as happy as could be. So simple. Going up to Toronto, that's all we needed. Whenever anyone said to me, you know, Chol of Yisrael, what do you mean? Carvel. I mean, how can you even consider it? It doesn't even match. Wasn't shy. It was like a mountain that was insurmountable. Impossible. And that fence in my Avodas Hashem was like an insurmountable brick wall. Impossible. Carvel was like the ultimate dream of my childhood. And then when my father was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and 4 years of intense yisurim and suffering, and knowing from the start that he would never survive to see the wedding of 3 of his kids, my wife said to me, what are you going to do now? In reaction, just let it go by. Time stuff is a tragedy like that, and you just do nothing. Just the same person you always were. And I said, well, what are you suggesting? And she said, colon cancer, stomach, food. And I said, oh no. She said, yeah. And she said, no, you're ever going to be Makon Chol Yisrael. This is your only opportunity to make the jump. And I wasn't in Syracuse at the time, trying to take advantage. But she was right. When there's a Hisorus, something which you're not going to experience, hopefully ever again, in that same way, and there's a push that pushes you over a fence, if you don't take advantage of that moment, it's gone forever. Never again will you experience those same feelings of passion, of pain, of hiskavus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, realizing that nothing is in your control, everything is in God's hands. Never again. That one moment of decision, she said, it's either now or it's never. And once you have that push over that fence, moment of Hisorus, you're there. And it's so much easier to go further and not look back. But I know, had she not pushed me then, I'd be in Syracuse much more often. Look for an opportunity to concretize the Hesoros. When you feel somehow an inspiration in the Skarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling a closeness, a dependence, a desire to come closer, whenever that opportunity presents itself, it could be a Leil HaSeder, working so hard and trying to recreate the special Hesoros of Leil HaSeder, and recognizing now's an opportunity to make a jump that will get me to the side of the fence, where I'll then stay for the rest of my life. One way to concretize this Oros, to attain the Hesoros. A second simple message, how to attain the Ta'am Matzah B'Fiv, how to ensure that religious Hesoros, when experienced, can be retained. Chatzkel Levenstein used to say that every generation has Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every person, every door has a semblance of Yetzias Mitzrayim at some point or another. Maybe it's on a national level. Maybe it's the astounding miracles of a Gulf War or of a Six-Day War. Whatever the example might be. Whether it's on a personal level, going through an incredible episode where you see Hashgachas Hashem so clearly. Chafka used to say, look to find those Yetzias Mitzrayim events that can provide one with this Oros. And when you find them, savor them, recognize them, treasure them, express your Hadat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look to be Misora from those opportunities that you can discover. If you don't look, it's so easy to let them pass on by. They might be somehow concealed or camouflaged to a certain extent. You stop and think and consider chain of events, how things worked out. So often you can also recreate a ta'am matzah b'fiv, an opportunity to retain that esorus of a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rav Chatzkel used to say that the escape of the Meir Yeshiva, which he participated in, was such an incredible, incredible nes min hashamayim, how everything fell into place. The Trans-Siberian Railroad they traveled on to travel across the Soviet Union to Japan was bombed after they had traveled on it. Coming to Shanghai and finding a massive, gorgeous, brand new shul built in 1920 by an Iraqi Jew and left unused for the next 20 years. Brand new shul waiting for the Meir Yeshiva to arrive 20 years later. See the entire yeshiva, two kosher kitchens, was unused until 1940. The fact that they escaped bombings in Shanghai, untouched by the Japanese bombs that fell on the Chinese city. It was so clear that even the Chinese would come and stand next to yeshiva guys during bombing attacks. Because they knew, these are the ones that are going to survive the bombings, let's stand next to them. He said, you have to look at these Yetzias Mitzrayim events in your lives. Be Misorer, find an inspiration, find an opportunity for Hesoros, and retain it, maintain it, by thinking about it time and again. Reviewing it, remembering it. When we come to Pesach night, Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, to consider stories not just of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of old, but look for Yetzias Mitzrayim stories of new, of our own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim stories, of our families' Yetzias Mitzrayim stories, of our generations' Yetzias Mitzrayim stories. Try to be moved by Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha over Klal Yisrael. Try to see the Yad Hashem in our own lives. Try to inspire this Oros that will, because it's Leil HaPesach, be more readily sensed and more readily available to us. And then to retain the Ta'am Matzah B'Fiv, to keep that Hesoros alive, to revisit it so often, rethink about it, remember it, remind ourselves of it so often, how Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking out for us, loves us, looking for a relationship with us, and how when we have that Hesoros, we can hold on to it, we can concretize it, and we can grow in our Avodas Hashem. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. Show all a wonderful Chag Pesach, Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Thank you.
I just want to again thank Rabbi Marcus and the Young Israel for the rally and everyone for joining us. I just want to recognize and express our karas hatov to Seasons for sponsoring the Kibbutz Kal. So Zakim and beer chametz. Everybody should pass around the Danish and the cakes. Please enjoy. And thank you to Seasons for their generosity. To Sam Schertz, Baylor Mandelbaum, David Konigsberg, David Prince, everyone who worked to arrange today as well. It's like a interesting thing. My Kesher Camp Ask is a camp in upstate New York during the summer for 300 individuals with specialized needs. My Kesher that we're in Queens, Erev Pesach, getting together. Anybody who opens up a Shulchan Aruch and understands what Pesach is all about, the revelation of Hashem's giving and kindness and love for us, opening last of preparation for Pesach is not cleaning, it's not cooking, and it's not buying. It's not dusting off the Haggadah and accumulating vorts. It's Kimcha de Pischa, Maos Chitim. It's thinking about and turning our attention to the needs of others. So to have an opportunity to get together here today, this morning, and learn, prepare ourselves for a yontif of Geula, a yontif of Chesed, feeling Hashem's kindness and being the beneficiaries of Hashem's kindness. The way we do that is by opening ourselves up to be aware of the needs of others in our community, which is what, for over four decades, Camp Ask really embodies. Talking about Torah's Chesed, there's really no one more appropriate to share Torah, to help us prepare for Pesach, then our Mor da Asra at Camp Hask, also Magid Shir and Rosh Yeshiva at YU, the rabbi of Camp Hask, Yedidi Rabbi Yehuda Willey.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here. Beautiful shul, Rabbi Marcus. Been an old friend and chavrusa of mine for many years, and I want to thank him and the shul for hosting us, and Rishus of Judah Shlita, who's a force of Torah and Chesed way beyond the confines of Camp Hask, really across the world. My son recently got a gift for his bar mitzvah. It was the Anu Haggadah in English that came out from Rav Zilberstein. I've come to learn that everyone has a Zilberstein Sefer like at the Shabbos table. You know, questions and answers. Very, very popular. So he got one on Haggadah, and I opened it up at the beginning, very, very beginning. He relates a story. The story is when he was a teenager in yeshiva in Israel, he was learning day and night. Friday nights he would sneak out of yeshiva, and he would go to the tish of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe. So he remembers one day, one Friday night, he went to the tish of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, and the Rebbe is talking deep Torah, and all of a sudden, the Rebbe stops. Like puts his head down, and he says, "Oi, it's Shvat. We're almost at the Leil HaSeder. I don't feel like I'm ready." So I read that story, I was like, oh my goodness. It's Chodesh Nisan, and we're starting to think about Pesach. While great rabbis and great people have been thinking about Pesach all year. How important it is to have things like this, times to really prepare for the Seder and for Pesach. Some of us here may know one of our campers, Uri Butler. It's hard to describe Uri Butler. He's an awesome person. He's full of life and a lot of fun. In camp, we daven every single day. And when we get to Shmona Esra, right before it gets quiet, it doesn't really ever get quiet, but when like it's starting to get a little bit quiet, right when everyone's about to start, you know, Shmona Esrei, all of a sudden, Uri comes up and gives it a clap. Ala Nisan. Yanki, Chesky, George. There's a huge tumult. It's not Hanukkah, it's not Purim. So there's a whole, you can imagine it's, okay, so now I want to give you two explanations to what this is about. The first is that for those who've been to camp or have you heard about camp, camp is a place, we know the motto is, where miracles happen. And yeah, every single day there are nisim going on. That's the simple pshat. The pshat, though, that I think is really important for the Seder night, the Pesach, is the following. And I think this is really captures the most important yesod, the most important concept going into Lel Seder and going into Pesach, I think is this point. And that is something that I learned in the Haggadah of Rav Asher Weiss last year, where he said an unbelievable idea. This is, if you have this idea, you got it. This is it. He said there was once a little boy, around 5 years old. And he's at the Seder, and his father's telling him about the beautiful, the crazy miracles that were going on. And he's describing to the Ten Makos, then he's describing him the Kriyas Yamsuf. And he gets to, you know, they'll say he's talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, how there was this huge mass of water, and Hashem, at the last minute, you know, made the Yam split, and it was crazy, everyone walked through. And the little boy, 5 year old, said, But Dad, what's the big deal? He created it. He made that body of water. So his father said the following, and listen carefully, because this is it. His father said, let me explain to you. He said there was once a world-renowned sculptor who had studied for years and years and was like the top sculptor in the world. And he decided that he was going to work on the project where he was going to sculpt a horse, life-size horse. And he was going to, you know, it was going to be perfect. And he spent 3 years on this sculpture. 3 full years. At the end of the 3 years, in the middle of the night, he brings this horse into the town square. It was then like equivalent to Times Square, and he brings it into the square. No one's there. He plops it down right in the middle. The next morning he gets up, he's all excited, brings his chair, and he's waiting on the side, and he's watching, he wants to see the reaction. People are going to see this unbelievable sculpture of this life-size horse. It's going to be nuts. So he waits. Rush hour is arriving, and all of a sudden, you know, people are coming and running, and no one bats an eyelash, no one even flinches, no one looks, no one turns their head, and he's all upset and dejected. He's worked for 3 years. This is his main work, and no one bothered to even look. So he went home and he told his family. He's all upset. Family said, you know, maybe they didn't realize. Maybe they didn't realize that it was a sculpture. So the next night, in the middle of the night, he cut a razor thin, you know, sliced it razor thin right through the body of the horse. And the next morning, he walks and everyone's in the upward. Did you see this life-size horse that looks exactly like the real thing? And everyone's just blown away. Like, how could someone do this? How could someone create this unbelievable thing? It's unbelievable. Said the dad, son, you're right. God created the world. He created the obstacles. He created everything. But we don't even think about it. We don't turn our heads to look. It doesn't dawn on us. So what does Hashem have to do? What does God have to do? You know what he has to do? He has to split it so we'll think, oh my goodness, there's a God in the world. Maybe that's with the other. that really one should go through life always cognizant, always mindful that there's a God in the world. My father always says this week in my family, thank God, we had 3 girls that were born in the week. Awesome. Twins, one, single, there's a lot going on. Yeah, thank you very much. Not my own, but nieces. So, my father always says, that, you know, sometimes you have a child that's born and there's like a complication and like you get through it and it's a big simcha and it's a big nace. My father always says, the biggest nace in the world is a healthy young baby. The biggest nace is to be able to just be normal and to be healthy. And not to need a last minute emergency, whatever. And the idea is to be able to look at the world and to always see that every day is a miracle. Every sunrise, every sunset, anything that happens, to see the Yad Hashem. And that's why in camp, we say Al Anisim every day. Because every day, every moment is really a nes. And Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe only because we're not turning and not looking and we're not understanding. It's easy to say, but it is hard to internalize. It's very hard to internalize. The avoda of Nisan, the avoda of today, is to work to deepen our faith, to deepen our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, "Vayar Yisrael sayara gdola asher asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim, vayira mas Hashem vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avda." That they saw the Yad HaGedolah. They saw the great hand of God, and they believed in Him. Chavetz Chaim explains, so what does this mean, the Yad HaGedolah? What is this Yad HaGedolah? Said the Chavetz Chaim, the Yad HaGedolah is the long arm. That sometimes in your life, you don't always see where it's coming from. And it's hard. You wake up and you have challenges. And you're going through a difficulty. And it's not always easy. Said the Chavetz Chaim, the Yad HaGedolah is very long. You don't always see who's behind it. But Emunah comes in when there's a Yad HaGedolah. And you have to reinforce Emunah and faith that God runs the world and it's all for the best. I heard from my friend, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, the following. Rav Avram Genachovsky was a big rav in Eretz Yisrael. And he apparently was once, you know, having trouble, and his watch fell and broke and like he didn't know what to do. So he went to the watchman. I guess that's what you do. He went to the watchman. He's like, my watch fell. What should I do? It broke. Can you help me? So the watchman opened it up, flipped the battery out, put the new battery in. Said the Rav, what do you mean? It fell. Right? It fell. It didn't have a bad battery. It fell. What are you changing the battery for? Anyone could do that. So the watchman said like this, no, you understand. Your battery was weak. As long as it was sort of schlepping along, it was schlepping along and it was work. But when it fell, a weak battery, it fell. It broke. That was it. The battery went kaput. So Rav Genachovsky, when he went back to the yeshiva, chapt, he said, wow, this is such an important lesson in life. Many of us in life, Our emunah is weak. And when a person's emunah is weak and you go through like a hard time, you fall. So what happens? You could break. But if you have the battery, and the battery is strong, if the battery is strong, you can fall, but you won't break. Right now, Nisan, coming to Pesach, the main avoda is to strengthen that amunah. To strengthen the amunah. As we get to the Leil HaSeder, starting from really maybe Shvat, but certainly Rosh Chodesh, our main avoda is to internalize faith in amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, when you go through Chodesh Nisan, Shabbos HaGadol, the Leil HaSeder, really the climax of the Chag HaAmunah, and you get to the real, real end. What happens at the real end, the very, very end of Seder night? The very end of Seder night, you end with a piyut. The piyut is Echad Miyodeh. I think the idea is that right now, the avoda is internalizing and reinforcing amunah, and then there's going to be a test. At the end of Seder night, there's going to be a test. The Baal HaSeder is going to ask you, "Nu, echad mi yodea?" It's a simple question, right? Who knows one? Echad mi yodea? Are you going to be able to answer echad mi yodea? Do you really know that there's one God? I think that is the test. That the ultimate test of this season comes at the end of the Seder, where we have to ask each other. And in fact, we say in the Haggadah, we say that there was a Maisa in Bnei Brak, and everyone was sitting together, and they were talking Torah. And they were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything all night. And at the end of the night, what does it say? Giyazman Kriyashma Shel Shachris. Some of the Farshim say that wasn't a break. It wasn't sort of a coincidence, incidental to the story. That at the end of the Seder night, the climax of Seder night, is that when you finish Seder night, you say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Higiyaz Zman Kriyos Meshul Shachas. That's the top. Perhaps, there's another idea based on this story, which is that at the end of Seder night, when you're all done, it's over. So, is it really over? So maybe the idea is that after you finished, and now you're moving on with your life, you're moving on with your year, right? You're done Seder night. Where do you go from there? Like what Marcus said, what do you do? The answer is, okay, now you said Shema, let's focus, let's build more. Let's start again. The season of Amunah, the season of Nisan and Kriyas Yom Suf and Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't end. It's really a beginning. It's really all year long. It's not something that we experience now and it's over. It's something that begins and continues. And that's the idea of Seder night. I want to close with one of my favorite Divrei Torah. If you're looking for like a really good Divrei Torah to say at the Seder, so you're looking to say something at the Seder? Your parents need to know something? Okay, if you want to know something really, really good, I heard this a couple years ago from my wife's great uncle, Solomon Weinberger, who was a rav for many years in Pesach. I heard from him in Shul and Tinek, and it's unbelievable Dvar Torah. He said like this. I think it may come from a Bar Yosef. Yeah, I think it may be in there, but I didn't have a chance to look at it. But I always remember this. The pasuk says in Shmos, "Vayasev Elokim Asa'am Derech Amidbar Yamsof, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The God took us around the circuitous route, Yamsov. And the Pasuk says, right, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. V'chamushim. What does that mean, V'chamushim? So Targum Yonasan says, and the translation in Hebrew is, V'chol echad im chamishi yiladim. V'chalechad im chamisha yiladim. V'chamushim from the word chamesh. Everyone took five children. Bizarre. Look at it. It's a Targum Yonasan. It's a bizarre Targum Yonasan. Everyone took five kids with them. So I happen to have five kids. But like most people then, right, had shisha mekarasecha. They had at least six. And if you had like five childbirths of six, you had like 30 kids. All right, so what do you mean? So what's going on? They took five children with them? So he said like this. Rashi, in Perek Gimel, on the Pasuk, says Vachamusha means that, right, that one-fifth of Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Four-fifths, fortunately, died in Makas Choshen. Listen carefully to the pshat. So the pshat is like this. What happened to the children of the four-fifths of Klal Yisrael? What happened? 80% of parents died. What happened to their children? Their innocent children. Says the Bar Yosef, the 20% stepped up and divided. Targum Yonasan the same, V'chamushim, what does that mean? That each one took not just their kids, but five families worth of kids. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Each family bringing in, adopting the kids of four other families? Having five families of children? That's Vachamusha. And he said like this. The pasuk we recite, Sayyid Yirmiyahu, Perek Beis, Zacharti lachesa nirayach avas kulosayach lechdech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zruah. So Hashem says, I remember, Zacharti lachesa nirayach. Zacharti lo chesed nurayach. What do you mean? Zacharti lo chesed nurayach? Maybe the Amunah, we just jumped in, we left into the midbar. But chesed nurayach? What's the chesed nurayach? So Bar Yosef explained that Hashem said, Zacharti lo chesed nurayach. You know what I remember? I remember those families that were willing to take care of all those other children. Those families that were willing to adopt and take in and care for all those other children. Zacharti lo chesed nurayach. That's what Hashem says. That's what I remember. Just want to close that you should never underestimate. Never, never underestimate what it means to take care of other people's children, to take care of Klal Yisrael's children. Hashem says, "Zacharti lo chesed nurayach." That's what Hashem remembers. Shbi Zocha is coming yontif to experience, to be together, to experience the Gula, to be together in Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim. Thank you for listening. Shkoach. I apologize. I would love to stay for the next part of the program. I have to give another shiur, but thank you so much to Judah and to everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, if everybody wants to take, let's take, I had like 6 coffees already today, the equivalent of. If anybody wants to take a cup of coffee, have a bite to eat, before we wrap this up, before we share a few words here, Bein parsha l'parsha, bein inyan l'inyan. I think the revach, I think Rashi said in this week's parsha, the breath is the main thing. Everyone just take a moment or two here, everyone grab a bite to eat. Have a coffee,
somebody want to get going.
So this, whatever, just kind of do. Match out a little bit for a minute. I can't sit
The last three Catholic we are. Arab Young. No, we're going to Burger King.
Okay, again, thank you everyone for coming. After the war, when Jews were so disenfranchised and broken, survivors were trying to find their way. Those who were most fortunate made their way to Eretz HaKodesh. Ertzke Saperstein, no different, he, Polish Chassid before the war, from Slonim, had lost everything during the war, his family, his identity, Yiddishkeit, made his way to Eretz Israel, but had no place to be, had nowhere to go. Without family, without a community, forgotten what it was to be an Eved Hashem, forgotten the trappings of Yiddishkeit. But it came Erev Pesach, he was in Yerushalayim. Someone told him, the Slonim Rebbe is in Yerushalayim. He said, I know, but what am I going to do there? Look what I look like. It's been so long. He said, no, come, it's never too late to come home. Come, let's go. Let's go to the small form of Beis Medrash, our Pesach. They came to the Beis Medrash in Shalayim, in Slonim, Meisharim. And Slonim Rebbe was there. Shalom Noach, the Siva Shalom. Siva Shalom came over to this Hertz Kasapistin after davening. He put his hand on his shoulder and he said, Shalom Aleichem. You'll be with us for the Seder tonight. Not, do you have a place? Do you want to come? Shalom Aleichem, you'll be with us for the Seder tonight. He came back to the Slum Rebbe's apartment, and he walked in, and what can you say, it was Heimish. The Jewish home. It's so long since he'd been inside of a Yiddish home. The table was set so beautifully. There was a white tablecloth, and it smelled like soup. And the Rebbe began to prepare the Seder. Took out the three matzahs that they had. They had three matzahs. They put them on the table very carefully. And the children already started asking questions. He was putting on his kittel, and they're already interested and engaged and asking. They took out the bottle of wine they had, and that they had watered down just to be enough for everybody, and put it into some kind of a decanter on the table. And slowly but surely, like the humanity, the soul was being restored to this Herzke, who was just standing there watching everything unfold in such a beautiful, serene, royal way. Candles were lit on the table. Rebbetzin was making the final preparations, and the children started to gather around. And he saw out of the corner of his eye Rebbe's 4-year-old daughter, who was very excited. I mean, this is a big night. Maybe a little overtired, a little kvetchy. Trying to get someone's attention, wasn't happening. And he saw, like in a split second, this little kid, his 4-year-old, like grab the end of the tablecloth and start running. And all pandemonium, chaos broke. The candles fell, the matzahs fell, the wine spilled on the floor and smashed. And everything came tumbling down. Everything. Into a big mess. The wine on top of the matzahs, the broken glass, the candles. A total and everyone's like, ah! Pandemonium. They start shouting and then crying, didn't know what to do. A kid didn't realize what they had done. And this Herzke Saperstein on the side, he didn't know how to react. It all happened so quickly. But then he saw the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiv Shalom. Shalom quickly run over and pick up his little girl and stroke her. She said, it's okay. And while everything was going on, he took her to the window in the apartment in Yerushalayim. And he held her closely and he said, my sweet daughter, look outside. Shh, it's okay, it's okay. Look outside, look. He said, you see the stars? You see the sky? It's a very dark night outside. And you see the stars? You see there's a moon? Looks like everything is a balagan and things are broken in here. Just know that Hashem is running the world and everything's okay. Everything's okay. Let's see what we can pick up from the floor and see what we can salvage together. And then Nesiv Shalom and his 4-year-old daughter, the Rebbe turned to Herzke and he waved them over. All went on the floor and like little by little started picking up the pieces, you know, half a matzah, with the napkin, you know. And then he could pick up, you know, the salt water had spilled. And they picked up what they could and they reset the table. And this time the tablecloth was like, you know, a mess, stains all over. I mean, that's already before Kaddish to have stuff. That's already good. And set the table again and began the Seder. The search for chametz, our preparation for Pesach, the buying, the cooking, the cleaning, every single detail of what goes in to this whole experience, let's say, this whole avoda, begins with us standing by the window looking out into the sky and saying, everything's okay. We have so many expectations and there's so much pressure. And it's a holy pressure. Like Rav Shmuel explained, like Ravul explained, it's such a big night. All the chips are down. It's our biggest night of the year. Although what we can accomplish and what we should accomplish, what we ought to accomplish, it's a big pressure. And it's manifest in all the hachanos and all the details and the expenses. Mishnah in Pesachim begins Mishnayos of Pesach begin, Orla Arbasar Bodkin Asachametz. The first thing we have to know about Pesach and getting into the Pesach mode, the Baal HaTanya explains in this Mishnah, Orla Arbasar Bodkin Asachametz. First things first, look for the light. Doesn't matter what's going on in the house, what we might think has fallen short, what might be broken, what might be missing. First things first, look for the light and keep our eye on the light. Nassim Breslover says that, you know, all of this effort that goes into searching out chametz, which is asr b'mashahu, a little bit we have to get rid of. I mean, you know, they say, remember that dust is not chametz, children are not the korban Pesach. Okay, it's a good teaching. I could say it 1,000 times, it doesn't really work. But everyone's going crazy over the little particles. We're looking for the little soup nuts, for the little yellow croutons. Shkedei marak, they're everywhere, They really are everywhere. Everywhere kshuto, meaning it's an unbelievable thing. Like, it's incredible. No, they're everywhere. I think someone walked around the house for the past 6 months and poured them everywhere they could possibly be. And that's chametz. And there's no such thing in our house as a makom that's not nichlas and both chametz. It's chametz, it's everywhere. So it's a real thing. And it's a real thing, karis is a real thing. We have to clean for chametz in a real way. But Rav Nosson says that this whole process of searching out the little bit, the mashahu of chametz, is to awaken us to recognize that a little bit matters. And that every single effort that we're making, every extra penny we're spending to buy something kosher l'Pesach, and every little extra effort we're making to clean and to prepare, to buy a new pair of shoes and to get ourselves ready, that mashahu is something which is important. And the first thing is to recognize that. Or, l'arbasar bodkin asachametz, is to keep our eye on the light and that which is going right and all these holy things. And maybe this matzah is broken and maybe the wine spilled, but to keep our eye on the light. Our parsha, we began the whole world of Karbanos. It's an amazing parsha. Amazing time. Baker gets a bum rap. It's not fair. Baker gets a bum rap by those who are not learning the psukim and reading the Rashi's. It's unbelievable. It's so sweet. Hashem calling out to us, saying, come, be with me, come close to me, offer from yourselves, bring a carbon, let's get together, let's experience life together, life cycles together, ups and downs together. You know, the end of it, the bottom line, it's already written. The end of the story, the end of the carbon, the end of that, you know, each of these steps, over and over and over again, in Chumash, Hashem tells us what it is. What's the bottom line? Yishei, Reach Nichalach LaHashem. When a Jew attempts to come close and bring a korban, it's Reach Nichalach LaHashem. Says Rashi, what's Reach Nichalach LaHashem in the first few psukim of our parsha? Nachas Ruach Lefanai. You brought Nachas Ruach to me by bringing korban, by making this effort, by taking these steps, by spending the money, by showing up. Brought Nachas Ruach. Sha'amarti v'na'aser etzoni. So Rashi says, Sha'amarti, that I said something? The way that Hashem says it, the first rise of Kriya Shel Chiba, I called upon you in love. V'na'aser etzoni. V'na'aser etzoni. Translated as, literally, what does it mean? V'na'aser etzoni. My will has been done. Right? My bidding has been... My will has been done. Lubavitch Rebbe in Nesichas and Rashi asks, what's with this vague, passive expression of Naser Ritzoni? My will has been done. Vasitem Ritzoni. You did what I asked you to do. You did it. That's not what Rashi doesn't say. You did it. My will was done. Rebbe explained, because there's so many steps involved in a carbon. There's so many details, so many variables. Kodshim, Taurus, like,
what a person's status and like the mum and what it could be and how it's supposed to be brought. So there's a lot of effort and a lot of intention, a lot of the way it's supposed to be, what I think I have to do and how it's after, a lot can go wrong. A little nick behind the ear and the whole thing goes. Not vasitem ritzoni, you did it, you did it. My will is done. However this ends up, my will has been done. Adam tiyakim mikem, a Jew shows up and gives of themselves. Doesn't matter if it's what type of animal it is. It doesn't matter if it's a shlom, matolda, an ola, or if it's a korban mincha, with a little bit of flour because a person can't afford something else. A person brings flour and ani says, what is this worth to anybody? I'm not bringing as good as he is. I'm bringing a little solet. Chazal say, no. Hashem looks at that person as if he brought himself. Nefesh, yeah. He brought himself. If we show up with our best, we put our best, but we try. If we show up and put ourselves into it, to the best of our ability, and every single one of us in our own way, and every day is different, even if everything falls on the floor and ends up broken and in a mess. The Nachas Ruach Hashem, the bottom line by the Ribono Shel Olam, is showing up and investing ourselves. It's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. It's not a teaching from the Chassidic masters. Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, which defines reality. Shulchan Aruch is our guidebook to the way the world actually is. Kol echad bodek ad makom shiyado magas. Bedikas chametz, the chiyuv, the shear of bedikas chametz is that every single person checks ad makom shiyado according to the way their hand, what they can reach, vashar, and that which one's hand cannot reach, mevato v'libo. Now my wife she has a much longer reach, existentially, but also practically, than I do. I mean, when you like reach, like bring down, like, you know, like I bring flowers, like the vase, like she's getting the vase down. She's taller than me. It's okay. But Moshe Feinstein's wife is taller. Byron Cutler's wife, Bob Troy's wife. So. Not that I'm okay with that. So. The halacha is, Kol echa bodek ad shiyado, their hand can reach vashar mevato b'libo. So we come at the Pesach, we're like a crash course, looking through good things to say and sort of saying, you see, this Rebbe is sad and he really felt Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not the Rebbe Nevin Sol, his favorite mitzvah is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. He really feels it and he tells this story and that story. And this tzaddik used to do this and that tzaddik used to do that and this Rebbe did that and this one did that. And this Balavoda, their Seder went till 5 o'clock in the morning, they went all the way and then he'd go to the, by Kodesh HaKadoshim before Yom Tov and say the Indian Korban Pesach. I'm sitting there like, you're hearing on Hagos of Tzadikim, and we're reading about all these great levels that we could accomplish, what they felt, what they said, and their Shir HaShirim, and his Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they say to the Manashtan in 15 languages, and this one, you know, whatever, and I'm sure that the matzah bowl that she makes come out exactly like our family first, and everybody, all these different expectations, and this one's going to have the Viennese crunch, and their tea room is all night, and everybody has all these big expectations and ideas and dimyonot of what Pesach ought to be and should be. But the halacha is, it has nothing to do with me. I don't have to clean your chametz. I'm not eating your matzah. You can't do the mitzvahs of Pesach night for me. I have to clean my chametz. And the halacha is that it's as long as my arm is. As well as I can reach. Rasha ma'u amer. What's the thing with the Rasha? What's the Rasha say? It's a painful thing to say that child, the table is a Rasha. That's a harsh thing. You know, what does the Rasha say? I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's a hard pill to swallow. I'm reading about it. Somebody else, okay, the Rasha at his table. I mean, just think about what it. Rasha, Mama, what does this Rasha say? Ma avodah zos lachem. What's this big avoda you're doing? What's this big avodah that you're doing, Pesach night? Lachem, v'lo lo, not me. You and not me. by taking himself out of the story, Motzei Atzmo took himself out, is Kofer Be'ikar. When we take ourselves out of the story and don't believe in what we're doing and how we're doing and the way we're doing, that's the narrative of the Rasha. You're doing a big avodah. His Pesach is very strong. His Pesach is very good. A couple of years ago, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we were at my in-laws for the Seder. It was a beautiful Seder. It was a great night. Everyone had it was so sweet. It was really beautiful. And my father-in-law, like before the Seder even starts, is talking about chatzos. We're walking down from davening, and he's like, "It's almost chatzos. We got to get going." I'm like, "You kidding me?" Almost chatzos. He's a person with Yirat Shamayim, cares about halacha, and it's challenging to deal with me. Really chatzos. We walk in the door. Let's go, chatzos. I'm like, "Whoa, hold on, it's a big night. We got plastic frogs." Chatzos. So the Seder ended, and I was getting warmed up. I was ready to rock, I was getting warmed up. And there was like human wreckage all around. Everybody's conked out here, conked out there. The guy slept up and said Shir Shirim. It was a fire Shir Shirim. And everything was good, like the looks, I had a Tam Matzah, and everything was pumping, And it was, 1 o'clock or so. By the time everything ends, 1:30 maybe, I know that's like a big kiyum. Like, what time did your Seder end? But okay, whatever. A little bit, thank God, moved out of that. It was some time, but I was still like, I went for a walk. I went out to talk to Hashem a little bit. I was in the Rishon campus. I went and sat on a bench upstairs. I talked to Hashem a few minutes. I was pumping. I feel like, okay, let's, like, I want to do this now. That's your Shirim. Spoke to Hashem a little bit, So I went for a walk. I walked, my Rebbe lives 25 minutes away from me. I took a walk. He mentioned during the week, Seder, Chabura, we're all one Chabura. We'll eat the Chabura together, we'll have the Matzah, we'll have the Korban Pesach together, we'll have the Chabura. So, I'll go, walk over there. Also, be Makabal Pnei Rabbo, is my Rebbe Mubak, say Shalom Aleichem as a Kiyum, Halacha, this is Shalom Aleichem to your Rebbe, on Yom Tov itself, why not? Take a walk. I'm in my kittel, I have wine and steak, wine and crumbs all over me. I'm like, I look, I'm in a good place. And I walked over to the shop and I went down to the apartment there. Doors open and kids are sitting around, some people here, there's a whole bunch of chevra around here and there. Everybody's in his, in yechida, sitting at the head of the table, like this. And he's talking to, he's talked to each child. Do you believe that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim? Hashem wants you. The whole world is created for you. B'nei Bechori Yisrael for you. And he's sitting there talking in Yiddish. I don't know if anybody was really listening to him, but he was in his own zone. It was probably maybe by 3, it was probably 3 o'clock in the morning at that time. And there were some kids, some people sleeping, and some people sitting, and whatever it was, and the women are over here. And I went and I just sat on the side of the list. I was sitting next to his son, chatting a little bit, and I was just sitting there. After a few minutes, I think he realized I was there. He called me over. I came, sat down, gave a kiss. Shalom Aleichem. He said, "I'm so happy to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Yontif." And I was like, feeling good. And he goes, "But I just want to bench you. I said, I'm like, put my head down. And he goes, "I bless you. You should believe in your own Seder and not come back next year." Ma avodah zos lachem. Like, for sure they have it right. This one knows what he's doing. This one's got lachem velo lo. Everyone in their own subtle way has that, I should have, I could have, I would have, I had this word to say, I had that one to say. If I would have made one more dish, if I would have had one more thing, if I just, the pressure with the in-laws, if I would have been in a Pesach program, I wouldn't have to do all this hard work. Then I would, but if I wouldn't be at this Pesach program, I'd be at home, it would be there. If I wouldn't have to be by my in-laws, if I could be at my parents, my parents, forget it. If I'm at my in-laws, forget it. If I was sitting in my own house, I'd be able to do it. If I was able to invite the people I wanted, it would be, Ma avodah zos lachem is what the Rosh says. It's what the Rosh says. Kofar be'ikr, if we say, if we have for a moment a doubt that there's a reach nechoach l'Hashem, that we're making for the Ribbono Shalom the way our Seder is. Soloveitchik said, you know, explained, Mora Godol, Zug Gilui Shechina. That the Gilui Shechina that takes place at the Seder night is, you know, for Chachamim, Nevonim. It's not for Chachamim, and it's not for Nevonim. It's for every single one of us. There's an accessibility for closeness to Hashem that requires nothing but showing up. It's what's happening. There's nothing we have to do, it's just being there. We experience Gilui Shechina, a closeness with Hashem. All that's required of us is not to be kofir be'ikr, not to deny it, and say, by them it's what's happening, but by me not. The awareness that our avodas bring nachas ruach Hashem ultimately is the goal of the Seder. And the Bava Rebbe, at the end of his life, he was just, I mean, if anybody saw the Bava Rebbe, he was an unbelievably beautiful and exalted human being. Survived the war and rebuilt Yiddishkeit here. The highlight in Baba was everyone would come at the end of Pesach, at the end of the Seder, to come have Nirtza by the Tzaddik. And come very late at night, and they'd sing the Negunim together, and it was this really special thing. The last Pesach of the Baba Rebbe's life, he was very ill, suffering. He was in a wheelchair, could barely speak. He was at very little strength. His G-tube was installed, he couldn't eat. So the last Seder, right, he's in the light, they didn't have the big maimed of everyone together, the big Seder night tish. Instead, the Rebbe was in his house, and the children and grandchildren came to be around him. Everyone understood that this was probably it. And they wheeled the Rebbe out right in the beginning of the Seder in this royal moment, king, literally, royal moment. And before anybody could say anything, one of the daughters started crying. And then a couple of the grandchildren, it was just too painful to see, you know, this symbol of strength and just leadership, their father, the paterfamilias, the Rebbe, in such a way. Rebbe understood what was going on, and he kind of like motioned that everyone should come close, and he said, Kindelach Herzu, listen carefully to me. He said, it's true tonight, it's a little bit different than other years. It's true that I'm not going to be able to eat the matzahs tonight. I mean, the mysterious nefesh in the ghetto with the Rebbe with the matzahs is crazy. It's true, I'm not going to be able to eat the matzahs tonight. And it's true, I'm not going to be able to have arba kosos tonight. I'm not going to be able to say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, I just don't have strength. I can't even do haseba in a wheelchair propped up. He said, but I thank Hashem, Shechionu, V'kimanu, V'higyanu, L'zman Hazeh, V'zoch to be here together. I can never take away that chirus, that freedom, the knowledge that Hashem has nachas from us being together here tonight. The bottom line of our Seder is Nirtza, Ratzui, that Hashem says, I want what you did for me. I want it the way it is. With all of our expectations, and all the excitement and all the effort and preparation, and we have to. Nefesh kiyakim mekem, we bring ourselves to the table, we bring our full selves. Hopefully we bring our best selves. We're able to say, to apologize to the people around us if we get a little testy and a little pressured and a little stressed out. Say, sorry, tahiti, I didn't mean to step on your toes, I didn't mean to shout, I didn't mean to... But we show up at the Seder night, and the main thing to remember is it's a Reach Nichoach LaHashem. I'll just last word. What does Pesach mean? What is the definition? Let's open it up. What is the definition of the word Pesach? Not a trick question. Nothing. What Pesach literally means? Well, to jump over, right? To pass over. Pass over. Right? Rashi says it's a lashon of Dilug. Right, it's skipping over. Like the Navi, Eliyahu Navi says to Navi Baal, Ad Masai Atem Poschim Al Shtei Seifim. Jumping from this to the other. between these two places. Lashon Dilug, Rashi says, or Kfitza. Kfitza, jumping. The Moshe Leib Sosteva says, jumping, connotes that there's some simcha involved here. There's some jumping, the kfots. That's the second Pshat in Rashi. I'm talking on Shmos, about the Exodus, the basic Exodus narrative, the Exodus 12. There's a story of the Jews leaving Egypt. The first time we have this notion of Pesach in Torah. Elsewhere in Yeshayahu HaNavi, it says that Hashem will pass over the Jews and take vengeance against our enemies, similar to what happened in Mitzrayim. In that language of Vayifsach, there is an expression of Hashem's compassion. If you take a look at Rashi and Chumash, the story of the Exodus, leaving Mitzrayim, Rashi says, Poshet Pshat, that Hashem was Vayifsach, Hashem Pasach, passed over the Jewish homes, is Lashon Chemla. Hashem had compassion on Klal Yisrael. Hashem had compassion. Pesach, first and foremost, is an experience of compassion. Ribbono Shel Olam saying, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, we're in this together. Reach Nichoach LaHashem. The pressure is self-imposed. There's halacha, be careful, Yirat Shamayim, to work hard. All Kedusha requires Chana. But to know that the bottom line in bringing a korban, there's so many things that can happen, let alone that four-year-old who might pull the entire tablecloth down. But to look out in the night sky and to look for the light, to see that the stars and the moon, Mitzvah Hashem, it'll be a full moon, to know that Hashem is with us, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Barachim and Gedolim, with Chemla, with compassion and love for us, and that our job is to show up, to come close, to do our very best, to keep our eye on the light, and to know that we're bringing Nachas Ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem should help us that it be a Freilich in Pesach, Kosher Pesach, Pesach that we eat B'chabura. Hashem should help us that we believe in our own Seder.
Amen.
Thank you everyone for coming out. This is a very special Kiddush Hashem.
Thank you.
Beer Chametz, to please take some of the Danish and Rogalach home. Beer carbohydrates. There's a keel in beer carbohydrates. Okay.